This is the Wednesday night Bible study for March the 25th. Let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you for another opportunity to get into your word. I pray that as we study it, Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts and minds, teach us, instruct us what the Lord Jesus wants us to be as one of his disciples, as one of his followers. So speak to our hearts, help us to be obedient, not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Of course, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to continue our study in the book of Matthew. Of course, let me just remind you, the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Jews, and it was to present Jesus as the King of the Jews. In so doing, Matthew quotes more Old Testament prophecy than any of the other Gospels. So in this session, we're in chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that Jesus preached on a mountain. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And when we started chapter 5, we outlined the Sermon on the Mount into four parts. So the first part was in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And it's the relationship of the subjects of God's kingdom to themselves. And so it's what Jesus wanted his disciples to be on the inside. So we looked at the Beatitudes, the attitudes that, again, God wants his children to have in their heart, on the inside, so to speak. The second part of the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 48. And it's a relationship of the subjects of the kingdom to the law. And we talked about this last time we were together. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he raised the bar. He took the law of Moses and said, as one of my disciples, I expect more. And so, Moses' law says, don't kill. I'm going to raise the bar and say, don't hate. Moses' law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm going to raise the bar and say, thou shalt not lust. Third part of the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew chapter 6, and it's the relationship of the subjects of the kingdom to God. And that's what we're going to talk about in this session. And then the fourth part of the outline is in Matthew chapter 7. It's a relationship of the subjects of the kingdom to others. Subject of the kingdom, relationship of the subject of the kingdom to others. But this week in Matthew chapter 6, it's the relationship of the subjects of the kingdom, God's disciples, to him. And Matthew chapter 6 deals with the external part or the things that should show up in our lives as one of his disciples. In the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks, talks about the righteousness that his subjects or his disciples need to have. He said their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the righteousness that Jesus wants us to have can only come as we trust Christ. He talks in Matthew chapter 6 about the righteousness that the subjects of the kingdom are to practice. And so he talks to us in chapter 6 about giving of alms. He talks to us about prayer. He talks to us about fasting. He talks to us about money. He talks to us about taking thought and care and not to worry about the future. And again, all of that has to do with the practical side of Christianity, what shows up and how we relate to others. And Jesus started with talking about in chapter 6, the giving of alms. So look at chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus says, when you give your alms, and alms is food or money that's given to the poor, He says, don't be like a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody that says they're one thing, but they're not really. When the Pharisees wanted to give something to the poor, their custom was to go into the synagogue, go to a street corner, and blow a trumpet. The trumpet was, to call the poor together, poor and needy together, so they could get the food, so they could get the money. But it also called other people to see how much that person was going to give to the poor. And what Jesus is saying in these first two verses of Matthew chapter 6 is my subjects won't call attention to themselves. They'll help the poor, but they won't blow a trumpet so that others can notice how much they're giving. When the Pharisees do it their way, Jesus says they have their reward. What's the reward? It's the thing they're after, the praise of men. They want men to praise them and to give them glory for their generosity. Jesus said, don't make your almsgiving between you and men. Make it between you and me. Make it between you and God. He says in verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. So Jesus says, when you give to the poor, when you help the poor, do it in secret. So secret that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. Now, I know that's not possible. I mean, the same brain controls the left hand and the right hand. But Jesus was using a metaphor. He was using a metaphor to make the point. Do your alms in secret. Make your giving to the poor between you and God, not between you and other people. And if you do it that way, God will reward you. And I'll just remind you that the rewards of God always are better, always outweigh the rewards of men. The glory of men won't last but a few seconds. But the rewards that God gives last forever. They're eternal. Next, Jesus turns his attention to prayer. Look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, he says, don't be like the hypocrite. Don't be like somebody that says they're one thing and it is something else. They offer their prayers so that others can hear it. Their prayers between them and others. They pray so that others can see what a good or devout person of prayer they are. They wear a prayer shawl and they stand in a synagogue or they go on a street corner. And they pray so that other people can hear. They have their reward, Jesus said. And their reward, again, is the glory of men. Again, which lasts for a second, but it's not worthwhile. I mean, because it doesn't last. Verse 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So Jesus says, don't pray so that others can hear you. When you pray, go into the closet, shut the door, and pray. And notice what he says, pray to thy Father. Again, Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching is directed to his disciples. It's directed to his followers. And they became citizens of his kingdom by believing in Jesus. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So as we believe in Jesus, we become part of his kingdom, and God becomes our Father. You won't find the phrase thy father in the Old Testament talking to any individual. The Old Testament refers to the nation of Israel as the sons of God, but in the Old Testament, there's no reference to God being an individual's father. But here in the New Testament, Jesus is talking about a new relationship. He's talking about God as your father, talking to the individual. And he's saying that prayer should be between you and your father. Do it in secret. And thy father, again, thy father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What's the reward? I mean, what's the reward that God gives when we pray the way that Jesus tells us to pray? Well, the reward is answered prayer. We don't always get what we ask for. Sometimes we do, but many times we don't get what we ask for. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is no. And God says, I have something better for you. I have something better than what you're asking for. Don't pray to men. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't pray and direct your prayers to men. You may get their glory, but that won't last long. And men can't meet your needs. Men can't solve your problems. Men can't lift your burdens. And men can't heal your heartaches. But your Father can. So pray to him. And then verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Jesus says, hey, when you pray, don't repeat yourself. Don't pick out a few phrases and then say them over and over and over again. He says, that's what the heathen do. They use a few words and they repeat them, and they think that they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. In other words, because they say a lot of things. In reality, they're not saying a lot of things. They're saying one thing, and they're saying it over and over and over again. And Jesus said, when you pray to your Father, you don't have to do that. If you ask one time, he hears you. But he says, hey, it's actually better than that. Your Father knows what you need before he asks for it. Look at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, like the heathen, for your Father, again, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, God does. He knows what we need. In fact, he knows better what we need than we know what we need. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to ask. That's an act of faith. It's saying, I believe that God is, and I can bring my needs to my Father, and he will answer my prayer and supply my needs. But God's not he's not dependent on us asking. He knows what we need better than we do. He knows what we need before we even ask. But our prayers should be in secret, and they should be sincere and simple. Sincere because they're between us and God. He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And we can't fake it with God. We can't be a hypocrite. I mean, we can't pretend to be something with God that we're not. He knows us too well. So pray sincerely. Pray like you're praying to somebody that knows everything about you. And again, our sincere prayer is an act of faith, believing that God is. And then pray simply. Don't use vain repetitions. Get to it. Tell God what's on your mind. Ask him for what you want. He knows it already, but again, he wants us to act because it's a way to exercise our faith. But as we pray, believe that God is. Believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, in the next few verses, God gives us a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer because Jesus doesn't need to pray this prayer, but it's more a model prayer that he gives to us and says, hey, when you pray, pray this way. And we'll look at that the next session that we have. Thank you for listening. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do give us instruction for what you want us to be as members of your kingdom. And again, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. We would take heed to what Jesus tells us. And that's the way we would operate. We'd have the Beatitudes that describe what we're like on the inside. And then what's on the inside would show up on the outside as we give our alms, as we pray, as we do the other things that Jesus is going to talk to us about. So again, thank you for this time we've spent in your word. Make it profitable to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.